Welcome to The Right You, where we teach you a little Texas law and provide hints for navigating the Texas legal system in the process, all sponsored by The Right Firm. So get ready to start your legal education.
This is Patrick Wright again for another edition of Right You, and this is episode 3. Time flies. Haven't completed our first two episodes. If you haven't heard them, you may want to go check them out on the divorce process. And in continuation of that theme, I thought it might be interesting during this episode to talk about a trip to the courthouse in the divorce process. And, you know, first off, I have to admit that most sane people probably don't want to go to the courthouse. You need to realize that, you know, any time that you throw something up to a judge, that any decision that that judge makes, even though it's based, it should be based on the law, really sometimes has a lot to do as well with other factors that are completely beyond your control. Life experience that that judge has had, their personal philosophies, beliefs, how they are raised, etc. And those things all factored to somewhat into decisions, because we do that every day as individuals. We base our decisions based upon our backgrounds and what we know, and judges are no different. And I think sometimes it, we forget that judges are just like you and I. They're just elected to do a job, and probably sometimes they're just the job they have is as difficult as what we do, because they're making decisions every day that affect kids and people's lives. But when you go to the courthouse, there are certain things that will make your trip there a little bit easier. And the first to understand is that when you go there, and some of this stuff is pretty basic, but it can result in some embarrassing experiences if you don't know. But I'm going to base my discussion on the Denton Courthouse up in Denton, Texas. You know, at the Right Firm, we practice in various counties around Texas and North Texas, and so we're pretty familiar with all of them. But typical courthouse, you know, you're going to go through a metal detector, and fortunately or unfortunately, I can remember when we courthouses didn't have metal detectors, but because of security reasons, you're going to go through a metal detector. So you need to make sure that you leave firearms at home. You leave any sort of weapons or knives at home. They'll confiscate them, and so you need to leave those in your car, or don't bring them at all. So you'll go through the metal detector, and a lot of times what you need to know before you get to the courthouse is where you're going to meet your lawyer. Occasionally, you know, people won't know where they're supposed to meet their lawyer, and it's better to arrange a set place and a set time so you're not worried, because when you're making the trip up there, you know, it can be fairly stressful, and the last thing you want to do is have to wait on your lawyer or not know where to meet your lawyer. And as basic as it may seem, you need to find out and figure out which court you're going to. In that Denton courthouse, those Denton judges, and the district court level as it relates to family law cases or courts of general jurisdiction. And so they don't have associate judges like that exist in Dallas County or Tarrant County. And so they're not specialized courts. They'll hear other matters. And when you go to court, they will be, you know, hearing criminal cases, regular civil cases, and family law cases as well. All of them are sort of jumbled on the docket. And so you just need to understand in advance which court you're going to, which floor it's on. You know, if sometimes lawyers will want people to meet at other places, such as maybe in the library or on the first floor. But just sort of a description of that courthouse. You know, you come in the door, you're going to go through the metal detector. You're going to proceed to the court room of choice. And then when you get to that courtroom, that typically the courts in America are open. A lot of times people find it shocking and a little unnerving to know that anybody could just walk in and listen to their case. But you need to know that in advance, that anybody can sit in and listen to your hearing. Occasionally, when there is a hearing going on, you may even see students from colleges sitting in the back room, taking notes maybe for a journalism class or maybe for a criminal justice class or a political science class. And they won't interfere with you, but they're sitting and they're listening, maybe taking notes. You know, and you need to understand that when you go to court, that still it's, you know, one of the few cases that there should be some decorum to it. The biggest abuse that we typically see is cell phones. It's the best thing to do is to make sure that your cell phone is turned off. There are judges that will confiscate your cell phone. There are judges that will hold you in contempt until such time period as you pay a fine for the release of your cell phone. And it's just not something that, not a good way to start off your court experience. You know, or, you know, we might have one of those bad experiences where you're sitting in the on the witness stand and your phone that you've left in your purse or your bag is ringing, and everyone's trying to run and avoid the bag because no one wants to claim that it's their phone. But it's sort of, you know, not very good when you're on the stand and you have to acknowledge to the judge that, yes, in fact, it is your phone that's going off and it's disrupting your court. So the best thing to do is make sure it's turned off. And the other thing I will let you know is that, you know, you can bring family members and friends to court with you if you just wanted someone for emotional support or someone to be there. But you need to also understand that you need to tell your friends to leave their cell phones, make sure they're turned off, leave them in the car. Now, the decorum, as it also relates to the people that you bring to court, you know, and occasionally we'll have a court case where we'll have a family member or a friend who's sitting in the courtroom, and it, you know, at the start of the hearing, you may hear a lawyer say that they're invoking the rule, and what that means is if the person is a potential witness, that they can't sit and listen to the testimony that is going to be provided because they might be called as a witness, and sometimes that makes people mad, but you know, you just need to know that there may be the chance they may not be able to sit in there if the rule is invoked, if they potentially might be called as a witness. If they're allowed to sit in the courtroom proceeding, family, friend, or otherwise, you need to make sure that they understand not to, if they hear something that they don't like, not to yell or scream at the judge, and that you may be laughing now saying it never happens, but you know, for doing this for 16 years, you'd be amazed at the stuff that happens in a courtroom, and that does not go over well with the judge. And so you need to let people know that that's not going to help your case out. It doesn't move the case forward, and if anything, it just makes the judge mad. And if the judge realizes, which they will, that the person is with you, then it hurts your case. So it's great to have friends and family there to help support you, but not if they're going to harm your case. Now, the other thing is, people ask me occasionally, is how should they should dress. And, you know, I don't claim to be the best person to consult for fashion sense, but certainly some common sense can prevail. And you understand that you don't wear shorts to a courthouse. I can probably think of two experiences in the last 16 years where we've had to take clients shopping before hearings to make sure that they were dressed appropriately and they weren't wearing shorts. You know, occasionally you'll have a client who shows up and has just returned from the gym, working out, or is on their way to the gym. You know, you need to understand that This is a time period where impressions are formed, and the judge is looking at both your verbal and your nonverbal cues as far as what type of person you are and what type of credibility you have, and so you need to dress appropriately. And that means if you've got a baseball cap on, that you take it off when you enter the courtroom. If don't wear shorts. Don't wear t-shirts. I have seen judges make people turn their t-shirts inside out because they had something that was on the shirt that was not appropriate. What's coming to mind is a Budweiser t-shirt. And so we normally talk to our clients in advance and tell them, essentially what we think is appropriate decorum and dress. One of the things I always say is, if you're a person that wears a suit to work every day, then wear a suit. And seeing a recent survey of men who wear neckties in America, it is around the 7 or 9% range. So, it's sort of noticeable if you haven't worn your suit in years and you show up in it that you're not a person who wears a suit every day. So we want to be respectful, but we also want to be authentic. And so if it's not something that you do, then, it's probably best to dress more of a business casual, which certainly carries its own connotations in today's times. But if you've been to church lately, in the last few years, you understand that even that dress has sort of been dressed down a lot as far as what it used to be. And so, and that would probably apply for women as well. You don't have to come in a full dress, but you just need to understand that it needs to be something other than workout clothes or some attire that's a little bit more dressed up, other than you're going to the cotillion ball. So, but it's just more of a respect and formality because, like I said, the judge is formulating an opinion about you. The next thing I will say is occasionally, you'll be walking into the courthouse and the other party will make a negative comment to you, or their family or friends will. It's best to avoid that, and you don't engage in those type of activities as well, because there's nothing that a lawyer likes better than asking the question, "Oh, when's the last time have you communicated with my client?" And then the person says, "Well, I haven't communicated in weeks." And then you say, "Well, of course, you remember communicating with him today, right before you entered the courthouse." And they say, "I don't remember communicating with him." And you say, "Well, do you remember the time where you extended your right finger to them? A nice, kind gesture that you were trying to show them, wasn't it?" And they say, "Yeah, I guess I did." And it's just not a good way to also start off the case. So it's best to understand that, pretty much from the time period that you're driving to the courthouse, so you get close to it. If you're cutting somebody off in a parking space, if you're, cutting somebody off in the elevator, that could be, someone who may be a court personnel member, a bailiff, a court reporter, some member of the judge's staff, or if you have a juror that may affect your case. So you just need to be on your best behavior. And, the other thing to understand is just because your case is set on the court's docket, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go that day. And, I a lot of people say to me, "Well, wait a minute, you can't tell me if my case is going to go or not." And, I have to acknowledge that, yes, I can tell you probably when FedEx is going to get a package to China, but it's sometimes it's difficult for me to tell you if your case is going to actually go or not. And the reason why is because many courts do their dockets, the way they arrange your cases, differently. Some will have you show up on a certain day, and then you'll know if you're going to go on that day or not. Some will have you show up at a certain time, and you'll be on there, and most people are shocked to realize that they're on there at the same time as 8 other cases, which 8 other people vying for time limits. Essentially, that if you have 8 cases set in the morning in any one given court, and there's roughly 3 hours worth of time, if all of those cases went, it's impossible that all those people are going to be heard. Many cases settle out, and that's the reason why courts work that system that way. Or many lawyers will use that as a manner to get people to the courthouse to talk, to try to get it settled. And you know, about 95% of cases are actually settled. Only about 5% of them actually go to trial at any one time. But you know, the court may have a trial that goes, so your case may get bumped, or the hearing before you may actually go. So you know, it's better if you know in advance before you get to the courthouse. And sometimes it's impossible to check that. Many times at our firm, we'll call the court and ask the court coordinator whether or not, you know, what the docket looks like and what the chances are of it going, if there's anything that's going to interfere. We try to let you know that in advance, but even at that, sometimes it's hard. The other thing is you need to understand that how the court is arrayed, meaning that you don't just walk up to the judge if the judge is sitting up there, essentially have a seat in the back of the courtroom if you're with your lawyer, there again maintain decorum, and the personnel who are usually in the courtroom will be the judge. You'll know the judge by the fact that the judge will be wearing a black robe. When you enter the courtroom, you should not be talking, not talking loudly. If you want to talk to your lawyer, it's best to let your lawyer know that you want to talk to them and go out in the hall and talk. It is very disruptive if the judge is hearing a case to have people talking in the back. The other thing is you can't, in most courts, bring food, drink. Some judges have a concerned about people chewing gum in their courtroom, and so make sure that you leave any food or drink outside. Don't bring your Starbucks coffee into court unless the judge says it's okay, or your lawyer knows that, you know, the judge has a policy where he allows that or doesn't have a concern about that. And the judge may be in the middle of a hearing, you know, when you go in there, so just have a seat. Occasionally, another personnel who's in the court is the bailiff, and the bailiff, normally a sheriff's deputy, will, you know, come over to you and may ask you why you're there. It's okay to let him know what your name is, and that your case is on the docket if your lawyer hasn't already checked in. But the bailiff is there to maintain decorum, and you need to follow their directions as well. And then you'll see an individual up there who is a court reporter. And the court reporter is the court stenographer who takes down the comments that the judge makes and that you would be making as well. And many times it's not uncommon for when you get there for the lawyers to say that they want to talk to each other. And the lawyer may tell you where they would like you to sit while they are talking, and then sometimes you know, the lawyers will be able to work things out, so there won't be a need for a hearing. And if that were the case, a lot of times a lawyer will call you to go up in front of the judge, not for a full-blown hearing, but to merely announce what the agreement that's been reached. And the judge will have you raise your right hand. You'll swear an oath to tell the truth. And then the lawyer will typically dictate what is going to occur into the record, with the court reporter taking things down. And so you need to make sure that you're not speaking over anyone. And that probably applies as well if there is an actual hearing. If you cannot reach an agreement and you have to go in front of the judge, it's best if the judge is talking not to talk. It's best if the lawyers are talking, not to speak over the lawyers. It's never a good idea to yell or scream or holler at the judge. I understand, and you know, all the attorneys in the right firm understand that it's an emotional time, and sometimes emotions get the best of us. But you need to think, especially in a family law case, that this judge may be your judge for some time. The judges are elected most of the time. If we want to use Denton County as an example, they are there for a fairly long period of time, and so it may not be the first time or the last time that you see the judge, and so it's a good idea to maintain decorum as well as far as the judge. But the court reporter, if there is an agreement, will be taking things down, and you just need to follow the lead of your lawyer. And the judge also is allowed to ask you questions occasionally. Sometimes people are shocked that the judge may actually ask them things other than what's coming from their lawyers, but the judge is allowed to ask you questions, and it is common to refer to the judge as Your Honor. Completely acceptable. Sometimes people ask us if the judge addresses them, how should they respond? If there is a hearing, you understand that you'll be asked to take the stand. And when you take the stand, the judge has a microphone there, and you'd have to speak into the microphone. And the judge will, if the judge has not sworn you in, meaning you're raising your right hand and swearing to tell the truth, the judge will ask you to do so. When the judge does that, the lawyer then will be able to ask you questions, and understand that when a lawyer is asking you those questions, that that you answer those questions in a fashion that does not interrupt the lawyer, does not speak over the lawyer, and it's really never a good idea to get angry at the other lawyer who's asking you questions, because it really doesn't help your case. The court reporter there is trying to take down everything that is said, and you need to make sure that whether you have reached an agreement or whether or not the that you have it and you're in a regular hearing, that you speak slowly and clearly, because the court reporter is trying to get everything down, and you know they're just trying to do their job. If you're speaking too fast, they may tell you that you need to slow down, just because they can't get everything down. And like I said, again, don't talk over each other, because it's just impossible for to them to get everything down. And then if that's the case and everything gets resolved at that hearing, then that'll be completed. Wait for your lawyer to tell you whether or not you are done and can leave the courthouse. Sometimes after a hearing, the lawyers may want to talk about some issues, and you know, occasionally the client will want to get out of there, and so but you need to make sure your lawyer has cleared everything, because there may be some other issues that have to be addressed. Sometimes there may be some documents that may need to be filed, and the lawyer may need additional information from you in order to complete those. Sometimes people are concerned because maybe they have to get to work, and you need to make sure that in advance, before you get there, that you ask your lawyer how much time do they think it's going to take. You know, most of the time, if you have a 9 o'clock hearing, we'll tell you at a minimum of at least half a day, and depending on what the type of setting is, it may be longer. So you need to make sure that you get off work, and then sometimes in the afternoon, if you have kids that you're caring for, and the hearing may go longer, that you need to make sure that you have appropriate child care in order to care for the kids. So if you're late, that it doesn't cause an issue. If you cannot or don't have arrangements for kids, then you need to let your lawyer know that in advance. And many times we can let the judge know that there's an issue, that you don't have anybody to watch your kids, or you have to go pick them up. And so we need to end. And a lot of judges have children. They're very sympathetic to that, and they'll make accommodations for you as it relates to picking up kids in these proceedings and hearings. The other thing I'll let you know, and this has happened occasionally, it's a really good idea in the morning, because in the Metroplex, where we do a lot of our cases in North Texas, the traffic can be very sporadic. And so what we normally do is, and what I normally do is, I like to give my clients my cell phone. You just never know what's going to happen on mornings that you have court. Maybe there's a wreck and you get held up in traffic. Maybe we've had power outages and clients who haven't been able to get their cars out of the garage. We've had clients who have been involved in major accidents, auto wrecks. And if you can get that information to us, then we can let the court know as soon as possible. Maybe you got hung up. The judge understands that within reason. Certainly on auto accidents, if you've had to go to the hospital, which we've had those incidents occur as well, that it's very important to, if you can, get your lawyer's cell phone number so that you can call them and let them know if there's any issues that might arise in the morning prior to even going to, you know, the courthouse, and take care of that stuff so that everybody knows what's going on. I hope this information's been helpful. I know it's some of the stuff, and most of it's the general information that we tell our clients and talk to them about before we go to the courthouse at any given day. You know, at the Wright firm, we go to court on many different courthouses each and every day of the year. And it, if there's a question that you have about the court process or how it works or what you should or shouldn't do, please don't hesitate to ask your lawyer. And you know, we here at the Wright firm and with Wright U certainly hope this information has been helpful to help you navigate the legal system in Texas and make you better informed about the legal process.
Thanks for listening to us on the Wright U. If you'd like to reach us, you may call us at 972-353-4600 or check us out on the web, thewrightlawyers.com.